Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22 and 35 through 38. Then suddenly, a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for over 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and, seeing her, said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest." May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture.
The grace and peace of our brother, and teacher, and leader, Jesus, be with you not just this day, but all of your days. She went with us everywhere. Everywhere. Couldn't get rid of her the entire time we were on the mission trip to Chicago. I'm not talking about Joy. That was a good thing. And so is this. She went with us everywhere. She went with us to our work sites. She went with us to our after-dinner presentations. She went with us to our evening group reflections. She went with us to our meals. She went with us to our conversations. She went with us on the buses and on the trains. Everywhere she went with us. Everywhere we went, we could hear her. Everywhere we went, we could feel her presence. Even though we never once laid eyes on her. They called her Mama Brenda. Brenda Matthews was born and lived almost her entire life on the difficult streets of Chicago's West Side. But despite the limitations of that environment, Brenda would become an actress, singer, a playwright, a poet, a speaker, a minister, and most important of all, an advocate. An advocate for economic and social and legal justice for all of the people of Chicago. Mama Brenda was always also a driving force behind the DOOR program in Chicago. DOOR, Developing Opportunities for Outreach and Reflection. Do I have that right? Close? Discovering Opportunities for Outreach and Reflection. The group who we were under the guidance of during our time in Chicago. Mama Brenda was a driving force behind DOOR Chicago. And in fact, this past summer, DOOR Chicago had dedicated the entire program to Mama Brenda. Or more accurately, sadly, in her memory. Because during the previous year, Mama Brenda had died at the age of 56 from complications related to a long-time struggle with diabetes. Most specifically, the theme of last summer for DOOR Chicago was deeply rooted in a spoken word piece that Mama Brenda Matthews had written and performed on a number of occasions over the years, both in Chicago and throughout the nation. A piece called Somebody Say Something. A piece in which Mama Brenda called out the inequalities and the injustices inflicted on the poor and the powerless, not just in Chicago, but throughout the nation, as well as the inequalities and injustices they had at times inflicted on themselves. Somebody say something was a call to action. Call to action. Reflected in the phrase that Mama Brenda repeats throughout the piece. Somebody better say something. Somebody better feel something. Somebody better do something. Words that are imprinted on the front of this t-shirt from Door Chicago. Somebody better say something, do something, feel something. Now, Mama Brenda didn't mean that as a progression. She didn't mean that we move from saying something to feeling something to doing something. For a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is in spoken word pieces, rhythm counts for a tremendous amount. And my sense is that Mama Brenda found the rhythm of say something, feel something, do something to be what resonated for her. At the same time, though, my sense is that Mama Brenda also understood what we understand about our cognitive and emotional and behavioral lives. And that is, we can say something, we can speak out about injustice or inequality without having or ever getting involved in what we would think of as sort of the hands-on work of doing something about that injustice or inequality. Just like the reverse is true. We can work to do something to eliminate injustice or inequality without ever speaking out against those issues. God has made us all differently. We are wired differently. God has given us all different abilities, talents, and capacities. Some of us are just more geared towards speaking out, others toward more hands-on, some a little bit of both. At the same time, what I also think Mama Brenda understood was that when it comes to our spiritual lives, to separate speech and action is to make a false distinction. A distinction that does not exist in God's eyes. Because from a spiritual perspective, to speak out against injustice and equality is a form of action. And to work to eliminate injustice and equality is considered a form of spiritual speech. It is, as the great spiritual writer Parker Palmer says, it is to let our lives speak. That fits. What also fits, I think, is the placement of the middle piece in that triad. The fact that Mama Brenda puts feel something in there. Because what we also know about our lives is that far more often than not, we choose to say something or do something because we have first felt something. Because we have been touched by something. Because we have been moved by a particular person or group's circumstances. And I don't mean just moved from what we think of as a traditional emotional sense, but also moved intellectually, moved logically, to comprehend a situation and say, you know what, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't have to be the way it is. We say something, we do something because we first feel something. But as we began to discuss during our evening reflections in Chicago, there's a piece missing, a fourth piece. Although really it is the first piece, because it is a piece, it is the piece from which all the others come. It is the piece that leads us to feel something so that we can and are moved to say something or do something? Where are the mission trip folks? Where are mission trip students? What's the first piece? Who remembers? You must. Oh, come on. You must see something. Before you can feel something so that you are moved to say or do something, we must first see something. In those two scenes from Matthew's gospel that Rob read, Jesus sees. Before he is moved to say or do anything, he first sees. He sees the woman in the first scene. We are told he turns and sees her. And then we are told that he saw the crowds. But what we must understand is that in the Gospels, to see something means far more than what we normally think of, that biological process of light reflecting on the optic nerve and sending signals to the brain, which produces a visual image. When we hear, when we see in the Gospels, far more often than not, what it is talking about is understanding, comprehending, perceiving. And particularly comprehending, understanding, perceiving not just what is readily apparent, what is on the surface, but what is not there, what is beneath the surface, what is behind the scenes that matters just as much, if not more. When Jesus turns and sees that woman, he sees a person whose illness has for so long made them a social outcast, made them unworthy, made them invisible, a person who did not matter at all in the cultural and social and religious context in which she lives. That is what he sees. He sees a woman who has tried to get help and who is reaching out for help once again, not a person who simply doesn't want to be helped, prefers the way things are. And when he sees the crowd, he sees the same thing. We are told that they are harassed and helpless. But what Jesus sees is that they are harassed and helpless because they live in a system, in a time of Roman domination, in which the vast majority of people also didn't matter. The vast majority of people had no opportunity to improve their lives. It was as if they were invisible or didn't exist at all. That is what it means to see the way Jesus saw. It means to see beyond the urban garden that you are working in on the south side, that in the daylight and sunshine looks so peaceful, so serene, suburban almost. It means to see beyond that and understand that the reason it's that way at noon is because the drug dealers and the gang members are still sleeping, and that within two more hours, you best be out of there. To see the way Jesus saw means to see beyond this area that you are walking through that for all practical purposes looks a lot like pictures that we see of neighborhoods in other countries that have been abandoned because of war. It means to see beyond that to the fact that in a worn-out, boarded-up factory or warehouse, there are a group of people who are coming together day after day after day to put together thousands and thousands of meals for the hungry and the homeless, many of which fall into that category that we obscenely call the working poor. to see as Jesus saw. To see as Jesus saw means to look beyond the entrance to Dora Chicago's home at the Church of the Brethren. To see beyond as you drive up, feeling a little hesitant perhaps, maybe a little bit fearful even. Definitely thinking to yourself, oh, we are not in Westfield anymore, Toto. Then to spend a week talking with, working with, being surrounded almost exclusively by people who do not look like you and do not live like you do. And by Sunday, by Saturday, when you leave, see them for who they really are. For people who had done everything they could to make you feel welcome. People who were grateful beyond words that you had bothered to come for them. And people who would have done anything to make sure that you were safe while you were there. That is what it means to see the way Jesus saw. But what Jesus also knew, and what Mama Brenda also knew, was that you can't see if you don't go. Before Jesus saw, he went. He went out, away from his home, away from his comfort zone. That is where he met that woman. And in the second scene, we are specifically told, Jesus went out among the villages and the towns. He went to places large and small, rich and poor, familiar and unfamiliar, places where he knew he was safe, places where he wasn't sure, places where he knew he wasn't. But he went. Because that is how you see. You go so you can see. You go so that eventually you can see that Chicago isn't just this place where hundreds die each year from gun violence. So you can see that Chicago isn't just this place where you can go in one direction and eat at some of the finest restaurants in the world and go in two other directions and land smack dab in the middle of food deserts, places where fresh fruits and vegetables are basically a rumor. But instead, you see Chicago as a place where people care about their children and their neighborhoods and their elderly just like you do. A place where people care about decent schools and housing and health care just like you do. Who simply want the chance to live a life where their material needs are met, to have the opportunity for that, just like you do. Mama Brenda once said, "Nobody ever came for me. When I was a child and needed help, nobody ever came for me." She says, "It doesn't bother me now. But the next time you hear a baby crying, or the next time you see a child struggling for help, I hope that you will go. Because nobody ever came for me. Nobody ever came for me the way Jesus came for that woman in the first scene and came for those crowds in the second, the way that Jesus calls us to go out for others. somebody better. Somebody better say something, feel something, do something, Mama Brenda Matthews said. And then she added, before it's too late. We are called to be that somebody. We can be that somebody. We are and have been and will continue to be that somebody. Amen.